Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news of issues of sustainability in the environment from around the district and from further afield. Now, tomorrow is National Clean Air Day. Air pollution is bad at any time of year, causes all sorts of health problems, but if you're a hay fever sufferer, then you'll be particularly concerned about it at this time of year, because air pollution exacerbates hay fever symptoms. St Albans Friends of the Earth have just monitored the air in 10 locations around the district, and they've got some interesting results. I spoke to Sarah McLaren to find out more. For joining us, so tell us, what did you find?
Well, we basically set up air pollution monitors in many areas around St Albans. We picked various locations, some in the city centre and then some on the outskirts. We had a pretty open mind about how the readings were going to show, and in actual fact, all of them showed a significant level of nitrous oxide, which was the main pollutant that we were testing for, and in some areas, actually quite a concerning level of high air pollution as well.
Okay, so any sort of notable places that were particularly high?
Yes, actually the two main ones that really did stand out were particularly the end of London Road, where the large roundabout is. We put a monitor there on one of the lampposts close to the footpath and close to the main dual carriageway, where traffic is often static, waiting for traffic lights to turn green. That was a very high level. That was the highest, and it's particularly concerning because people live very close to that junction as well. So not only the people in their cars and pedestrians, but people who have no choice but to live there are also potentially being affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
The other area which was high was outside the Oxfam bookshop. Again, that was a high reading and an area of high traffic once again, but an area where there were lots of pedestrians, lots of people congregating, lots of activity. So those two were particularly worrying for us.
Yes, that's right. And I suppose also, particularly near the Oxfam bookshop, there's people working there as well, so they don't really get any choice about this pollution, do they?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you have a regular 9-to-5 day job, the chances are you have several hours of exposure every day. And, of course, there's nothing you can do about that. I think that's one of the main problems, the main facts about air pollution is that it doesn't discriminate. It's not about your lifestyle and what you're necessarily eating and how active you are. If you live in an area where, or work in an area where air pollution is high, you're potentially going to be affected by it. And for people who have no choice but to be in the city centre for whatever reason, that's really concerning.
Indeed. So tomorrow's National Clean Air Day. Can you just give us just a couple of things that we could do to help avoid polluting the air?
Well, yes. I mean, it's somewhat of a cliche, but the same old advice that relates to trying to get out of your car whenever possible applies more to this than to anything else. Walking, cycling are always good options, taking public transport wherever you can. I think particularly during certain times of the day, during school drop-off and pick-up, during rush hour, air pollution does peak. Finding alternative ways to travel during those hours is really, really important. Leaving the car behind, car sharing, all of the things that we know perhaps from a lifestyle perspective and in terms of keeping congestion down also keep air pollution down. And I think the other thing that's important to say is you're not immune from air pollution if you're travelling in a car. In fact, it's been shown in some studies that air pollution levels are actually higher in a vehicle than they are if you're outside a car. So no one's immune. And those who are driving around should have more motivation than anyone else really to try and find an alternative and protect themselves from this level of pollution.
That's great. Sarah McLaren, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us. There's some great tips there. And as you say, we're all affected by this, aren't we?
So indeed, that's right. Great. Yes, no, that was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, bye-bye.
And I'll make sure that those air quality results go on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website so you can take a look at them. Now, one way you can help keep air pollution down is by switching off your vehicle when it's stationary rather than idling it. And a new project is underway to get us all to switch off in St Albans. It's funded by St Albans District Council. And one of the project coordinators is Ruby Rout, who's joined me in the studio. Ruby, thank you very much indeed for joining me here this evening. So why are you targeting idling in particular?
Firstly, thank you for having me here again. High levels of pollution are usually found where the cars are stationary, so in the traffic signals or in where by the Holywell Hill, you can talk about it, where the traffic is.
That's right. Well, I think that's one of the things that the study we've just heard about shows, that places where cars are stationary, you get high levels of pollution, don't you?
Yes.
So, yeah, I suppose it's a great way of targeting those particular hotspots. Now, you're taking the message out to the general public, but also to schools. Why schools in particular?
So, cars are quite stationary, and then the engine are quite turned on in the school area, especially during the pick-up and drop-off time. So what parents don't realise is the car engine is on, and then they go quickly and nip and coming back, kind of thing.
Yes. So,
and especially in the school areas, because the kids, children's lungs are very young lungs and they are still developing. So they are more prone to and more vulnerable to air pollution than an adult.
Yeah. Okay.
So yes, we are targeting the school, I think, hopefully teaching the parents about the anti-idling and anti-idling.
Yes, that's right. I suppose that's right. You know, not only is it schools, but possibly areas of high pollution, but as you say, children are very much at risk, aren't they? Now, you held your first school session on Monday. How did it go?
It went very well. So the first school that came to me to do the anti-idling campaign was St. Stephen and St. Albans Junior School. They are one of the green school as well, and they were very keen on doing this air pollution project because they wanted to target the healthy living aspect of the eco school. The kids were very interested. The year six students came first, and they were like, "We love all the environmental projects that we do at school." That's what they said to me.
Oh, right, they're keen. That's really good to know, isn't it? And did they understand the idea that cars idling, you know, basically when cars are stationary, giving out lots of exhaust fumes, that this was a really bad thing that they could do something about?
Initially, definition of idling, I don't think anybody got it. But once I explained it, and then I asked, like, when does this idling mostly occur?
Yes.
There were many hands up saying that in the traffic when there is red light. So yes, they were aware about the
right
engine running when the car was stationary.
Okay. And how about the idea that this is actually very harmful to them as children?
Yes, they were quite hands up when I asked, like, who are more vulnerable to this?
Yeah.
They were like children, because they have got young lungs and they are still developing. And plus, they were also quite keen to say about that they have got small feet and small step. So they are more exposure to air pollution than big feet and big step kind of thing. You know, when you're walking in the road, side of the road.
Yes.
Yes,
I suppose that's right. Kids are, you know, they're turning over more air, aren't they?
Yes.
Through their little lungs. That's right. So are they going to take this further then? Do they have any plans?
Yes. For the Clean Air Day on the Thursday, they are doing a demonstration in front of all the parents to teach them about the anti-idling. What they are holding a play card with a mask, and they are distributing some leaflet.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's great that they've decided to actually do their own little protest about this as well. That's brilliant, isn't it? Okay.
Yes.
So you've got other schools that you're planning to take the message to as well. Where's your next school?
The next school is Mandeville School. That will be the Thursday, the 22nd of the June.
Okay.
And they are doing the presentation in the morning, where I'll be going and talking to them about it. And in the evening, they are also keen to do the demonstration. When I told them that the other school was doing it, they were like,
"I see, yes. Not to be outdone, hey?"
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So really taking the message out there. Now, how about the rest of us? Obviously, there's quite a lot of us that aren't parents or children or whatever. How are you planning to get the message to other people?
So we have lined up two market stalls in July and August here at St. Albans Town Centre.
Right.
And then we are also doing a driver engagement session,
right,
where we might go to the, especially the car park or the taxi rank area, where we might be handing out some leaflet and talking about anti-idling.
Oh, okay. So actually talking to drivers who are there in their cars,
yes,
with their engines going. Right. Okay. I suppose that really does nip the problem in the bud, doesn't it? And you're looking for some help. What kind of help are you looking for?
So we are looking for some volunteers who can come and help us in this project. We will be doing some kind of volunteering training as well on the 27th of June in the evening at St. Albans Council and Chambers.
Yeah.
You can come over there and, yes, learn more about the idling, anti-idling, what we can do at the local level.
Okay. Yes. And as you say, the volunteers will be then helping on the market scores, talking to members of the public, and then at the driver engagement sessions, we'll be learning about how the best way to actually talk to drivers. And
yes.
Yeah, I suppose that's something that we all like to be able to do, really, isn't it?
Yeah. How the reaction's going to be.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's right. It shouldn't really be something too confrontational. It's just, you know, do you realise this is affecting your health too, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So if we're interested in this, where can we get more information from?
So the more information can be found via Twitter, Instagram or Facebook. We have set up a page called Idling Action St Albans, and more information will be put up on the website as well.
Yes, indeed. I'll be putting stuff up there. Oh, and the, Idling Action St Albans website. Yeah,
yes.
Of course. And I will, of course, be making sure that all the information goes onto the my blog on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website as well. Now, something that you might be interested in, if you are interested in cutting air pollution, is perhaps trying out electric bikes. So don't forget that it is Electric Bike Day on Sunday. That's Sunday the 18th of June, 10 till 4 in Verulamian Park. You remember we spoke to Andrew Allen a week or so ago, and he was talking about how you will actually be able to try an electric bike and how they're great because they just make cycling a little bit easier, but they don't have lots of air pollution involved. So that's on Sunday, 10 till 4 in Verulamian Park, just near the bottom of the causeway there. Okay, so something else I thought that you might be interested in. I don't know if you spotted in your community news sent from the council, but you can now put your food waste into just an ordinary plastic bag. It doesn't need to be a compostable plastic bag, which kind of makes things a little bit easier, Ruby, do you think? If you just...
Yes, definitely.
Did you spot that?
I did, but I didn't know that you can use any ordinary bag.
Yeah.
I thought that you can just literally put all the waste without any bin liner and they will just tip it over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that solves many problems. Like, in the Facebook forums, you often get like, oh, where can I find those starch paper bag or starch bag kind of thing. Now you literally just put it in any bag and then...
That's right, indeed. And apparently they don't get composted. They have some special sort of hook system that takes the plastic bags out. Of course, if you're trying to avoid using plastic, you can continue using your compostable bag or just wrap your food waste up in newspaper. That would be great as well. But, you know, it's sometimes just handy, isn't it, if you've got a plastic bread bag or something like that to bung all your vegetable waste in there. Now that is absolutely fine. So great. Thought you'd like that. Anyway, some other good news is that... again on Sunday, Surge Hill Gardens are open. Now, these are absolutely lovely gardens. They are owned by Kate and Tom Stewart Smith. Very diverse gardens. There's some lovely herbaceous perennials. There's a walled vegetable garden. There's a ha-ha. There's a large greenhouse, roses, shrubs, perennials. Tom Stewart Smith is a fabulous garden designer. So this really is a beautiful garden, well worth a visit. It's open on Sunday, 2 till 5. And the cost is £8 and children are free. And there are cream teas available as well, so that will be that sounds great, doesn't it? Do you like gardens, Ruby?
I do. Yes. I love spending my time in the garden.
Oh yes,
I've got an allotment recently. It is a bit of a jungle, but I still love it. Just going over there and just sitting and watching.
What are you growing? You've got something lovely.
Well, we've got some strawberries, some raspberries, some blackberries. They were from the last year, I think. Whoever grew it,
you harvested any strawberry? I had my first fresh from the garden strawberries this week. Oh my word, were they delicious.
Wow.
Have you had any of those yet?
No. But I had my new baby potatoes harvested this.
Yes.
Well, it was supposed to be Christmas potatoes.
Right.
But then the frost came and ate it all away.
Yeah.
But then it grew back again. And then I harvested nearly half a kilo of potatoes yesterday from four plants. So that was like...
Wonderful.
That was my dinner sorted.
Really nice. It's a magic time of year, actually, in the fruit and vegetable garden, isn't it?
It
all
is,
these
definitely.
Things that are just suddenly coming through and are just ready to be picked, which is, it's magic, isn't it?
They're and the lovely. Weather's been perfect as well, I guess, for the growing season and stuff.
Yes.
Right kind of temperature, and there's a bit of a rain.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness, yes, there has been some rain now, which is really good. Although, of course, it does mean there's a few slugs out there as well, which, as you'll know, if you've got an allotment, Ruby, is
yes,
it,
my lettuce are all gone. So... But I did manage to have four batches of it.
Yes.
For me and my neighbour and everybody, so I managed to share with everybody. Well, now I have to share with the slug.
That's right. In some ways, that's quite nice, isn't it?
Yes,
you
yes.
and the neighbours and the slugs, you share it all.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. And if you don't use slug pellets, then you're sort of like, you know, you feel good in the knowledge that all the hedgehogs will be fine as well. So that's good too, isn't it? Which is good. So would you fancy going along to see Tom Stewart's Miss Garden? Do you like seeing beautiful flower gardens, or are you strictly a productive person?
Well, this weekend is going to be very productive. As you know, that I do other projects as well.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I'm going to Wales. Yeah.
Right, okay. So a busy time.
But hopefully it'll be a lovely weather down there. I went to Snowdonia.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Yes. It just shows, actually, you don't have to go, you know, you really don't have to go, you know, Mars, you don't have to go in an aeroplane. There are beautiful places in this country that can be enjoyed as well, aren't they? And all, you know, really not too far from the southeast here. You know, it's even, as you say, just going to Wales or, even closer than that, actually, a lot of places in places like Norfolk too. Really good. So anyway, Ruby, thank you very much indeed for coming and sharing your anti-idling project with us today. Do look on the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website, where I'll share how you can volunteer to take part in this great project. And say it won't be taking too much of your time, but we'll be making a great contribution to the air quality around St Albans. Remember, on the Radio Verulam website, you can also listen at leisure to the podcast of this and many other programmes. Do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got any great ideas for the show, you can tweet us at rv_environment, or you can email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Now, next week, it's National Meadows Day coming up, and Save Butterfly World are particularly concerned about one meadow in particular. Find out why. So until the same time next week, thank you for listening.
Thank you.